In his many audio diaries from Liberia, Rhode Island ER Dr. Adam Levine has been trying to convey above all else the raw bravery it takes to treat people with Ebola. The raw bravery, he says, of his colleagues who are trying to save their friends and neighbors.
There's just so much stigma associated with the disease, and you know, the fact that these healthcare workers, many of whom have colleagues who've fallen ill or died from the disease, are still here working is really impressive.
Courage and fear is something he says he saw quite literally in the face of his clinic's beloved nurse, Comfort.
We have one patient, Comfort, who's actually a operating room nurse, and she got sick about a week and a half ago. You know, at first she seemed pretty ill. She was having a lot of diarrhea, but now her diarrhea stopped, and she does seem to be getting a little bit better.
Dr. Levine is back in the U.S. after 5 weeks in Liberia. He has a few more days until he's cleared by CDC standards of having become infected with Ebola. So far, so good. He's not too worried, he says, but he is frustrated with the hysteria in the U.S. over such a small group of people infected, when in Liberia the whole medical system is destroyed. Eradicating Ebola, Dr. Levine insists, starts with increasing the focus on the worst-hit areas of West Africa.
From a humanitarian perspective, all of our focus really needs to be on West Africa. That's where thousands of people are dying right now from Ebola. And it's also where this epidemic has taken root and has the chance to spread to other sub-Saharan African countries. And in fact, even from our own personal protection here in America, the best way to stop cases in the future from coming to the U.S. is to eradicate this epidemic right now in West Africa. And we have the opportunity to do that. If we put enough resources into the fight, we can end the epidemic in West Africa and eradicate Ebola for good.
Had you ever done anything like this before when you got on the plane for Liberia?
Well, I guess it depends what you mean by like this. This was my fourth deployment with International Medical Corps as part of their emergency response team. So I've worked in humanitarian emergencies such as after the earthquake in Haiti, in Libya during the conflict there, in South Sudan, working in a refugee camp. So I've done humanitarian work in the past. This was my first time, though, working with Ebola patients and my first time running an Ebola treatment unit.
And in this particular case, it wasn't a conflict zone like Libya and South Sudan. You were really in a place where the battle was against a virus.
That's absolutely right. And it was incredible to me, even our local staff working in the Ebola treatment unit, how often they framed it that way as their fight, as their war against Ebola. And all of them saw themselves in many ways as soldiers on the front lines of that battle.
And in your audio diary, you took such great pains to remind us that this wasn't about you. It was all the courageous people you saw around you, all the people who were putting themselves in harm's way, the people who, you know, would one day be treating people, the next day being a patient. Can you take us back to some of those moments?
Yeah, I mean, one of the most incredible experiences in Liberia was getting the chance to meet and to work really closely with our national staff, the nurses, the physician assistants, the hygienists and the sprayers and the burial team members and all of the local Liberians that helped make our Ebola treatment unit run. So I had the opportunity to help with training them before we opened up our Ebola treatment unit and then working alongside them during the first couple weeks of its operation. And it was incredible to me just how courageous they were. First off, many of them had colleagues and friends who had contracted Ebola and died from Ebola, especially the nurses and the physician assistants. All of them had colleagues or former classmates who had died of Ebola. And then, in addition, many of them were being ostracized by their communities. So many of our staff had been kicked out of their homes and their communities because they were working in our Ebola treatment unit. And so they were experiencing this stigma just from working with us, and yet they still came to work, and yet they still showed up, and they were still willing to do the work. And, you know, I was there in Liberia for 5 weeks, and as I said to them on my last day, you know, I get to leave, I get to go home to a place without Ebola, but all of them continued to live in a place with Ebola and continue to work in that going forward.
And what's it like to realize that you might be next, being infected? I mean, you know. That certainly if everyone had colleagues who had died and you're wandering around in the midst of bodies and people who are very, very ill and you take precautions, but still, you know, someone either who you're working with or you yourself could be next.
It's frightening. And, you know, in all cases, whether we're responding to an emergency that's a natural disaster or a conflict or an epidemic such as this, we take all the precautions possible. And, you know, our organization, International Medical Corps, takes all the precautions possible to minimize that risk, to mitigate it. And in all of these cases, there are ways you can minimize the risk. But you never minimize it to zero. And it is a risk that you do take. And it can be scary at times. Even after returning here back to the United States, there's still that, you know, 21 days of fear where I'm monitoring my temperature and, you know, 45 seconds of panic every time I put the thermometer in my mouth before it beeps and tells me that I don't have a fever. I think the most abnormal thing about Ebola, what differentiates it for me at least from so many other diseases in sub-Saharan Africa and around the world, is that this is a disease that really does almost preferentially target healthcare workers. And that's huge because as a healthcare worker, we sort of have this divide usually between us and our patients. They're the ones that are sick. We're the ones that are healthy. We're the ones that are strong. We're the ones that are taking care of them. And for so many healthcare workers to be getting infected and to be getting this disease is very unusual compared to most other conditions. It also means a great deal for the weak healthcare systems that already exist in sub-Saharan Africa. When you have a healthcare system where there already are very few doctors and very few nurses, and just a few of them fall ill, it can cause the entire healthcare system to become paralyzed and to collapse. And so that means that all of the other conditions out there don't get treated.
How has your trip home been different from other trips home from foreign assignments with the International Medical Corps?
Well, there's been a lot more publicity this time.
Right.
You know, there is also this weird feeling of, you know, being half hero, half pariah in some ways. It's kind of this strange dichotomy, especially, I think, during this 21-day period after I get back. You know, there's still this sense of, you know, some folks not wanting to see me or be around me at the same time as I'm getting, you know, more media requests than I can possibly respond to. So it's been very strange in that way. Processing it.
Friends don't want to be around you?
There are some, yeah, who have said that they don't want to see me until after 21 days. You know, you have the CDC recommendations.
Boston?
Yeah, in Boston. Some of the same stigma, I guess, that my healthcare workers in Liberia were facing as well.
This so is one of the most educated places in the universe.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is science and there is the Center for Disease Control recommendations and guidelines, which are, you know, very reasonable and evidence-based. And then there's human psychology and there's people's fears. And, you know, this is a disease that generates a lot of fear. And one of my blog posts, I called it an epidemic of fear, actually, because in many ways that's what it is, in addition to an epidemic of a viral disease.
Well, Dr. Adam Levine, we admire your courage, your sense of service, and certainly your willingness to reach out and be a part of our program and to share your stories with all of our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Adam Levine, an ER physician at the Rhode Island Hospital, also assistant professor of emergency medicine at Brown University.